So welcome, everybody. This is Erin Center of Center Counseling, back for another Teen Tidbit. And I'm glad that we solved the technological issues. Today, I am going to be talking about something that came up in a session this week, and I realized that I may not have shared this in a podcast yet. So I'm sharing it because I think it's really important for all parents of teenagers to know, which is, so the topic of conversation this week was Socrates. And Socrates' relationship to parenting of teenagers. So what's the relationship between Socrates and teenagers? Well, the relationship is, aside from the fact that I think Socrates spent all this time sitting around with adolescents talking, primarily adolescent boys talking, his method for those conversations was one of asking questions. And he wasn't asking random questions. He was asking questions because he had a sense that he knew some answers. And he wanted to help those young men that he was having conversations with reach those conclusions on their own through that conversational method, through that Socratic method. And how this came up for me this week in terms of teenagers, and how it's been coming up for me for years, actually, in relationship to teenagers, is that I, myself, sometimes feel quite frustrated because I know a lot of things about life, right? I've earned a little bit of wisdom through many wrong turns, through some right turns, through lots of life experience. And I know that I'm not the only one who's an adult in an adolescent's life who's frustrated by that because, I just want to share some of that wisdom with those teenagers. I would like to save them some of the grief, some of the heartache that I myself have experienced in life. I know that parents also want to protect their kids from some of those wrong turns, some of those mistakes. And ultimately, obviously, we want to protect our kids and make them safe as well. And as parents, we want to take the easiest, most efficient route to get there. And often that appears, and it's illusion, it's an illusion, but it appears that the safest route is to, and the most efficient route is to tell the teenagers these things, these nuggets of wisdom that we have accumulated over the years. And the unfortunate thing about that is that it's a false path. It's actually often counterproductive with teenagers, because when we tell teenagers all of our wisdom, when we share our wisdom, when we share the right answer, when we share what would be more efficient if, or you wouldn't have to deal with that if, kind of wisdoms, teenagers tend to put up a little wall, and they don't listen to us. And worse than that, even, sometimes teenagers actually full on go the opposite direction when we say those things, when we try to share that information. And, I remember this, actually, as a teenager, I remember walking up the stairs in my parents' house, like going upstairs with the intention of doing my homework and having my dad holler like, hey, don't forget to do your homework. And then internally, and I'm going to curse here, internally I remember thinking, shit, I can't do my homework now. Like I have this huge internal like, bam, this wall just came flooding up. And I, even though it was my intent to do my homework, that's what I was actually on my way to do. As soon as my dad said, hey, don't forget to do your homework or do your homework, I had this huge internal resistance to it. And I, as a teenager, I struggled. I couldn't, often get over that. I would go and think around in my room, read a book or, color or, do something other than my homework, which is obviously self-defeating and not even what I really wanted to be doing. But unfortunately, that's kind of how teenagers work. They have this real need to establish themselves as an individual, as somebody separate and autonomous from their family. That's in fact their developmental job as adolescents. That's what they're working toward, is ultimately leaving the nest, right? Being an independent, self-thinking, self-directing person. And yet that adolescent transition to that place can be so frustrating because it's an awkward process. I mean, teenagers are gangly physically, their brains are also gangly. And it is this sort of, unfortunately, they're not quite ready to be entirely full-fledged, independent, autonomous human beings. And yet they're beyond being willing to listen to us and our direction of them. So they're in this awkward phase where they need something in between, and that's where Socrates and the Socratic method comes in. Because it is a way that we can help guide teenagers without them feeling like they're being guided. If you get really good at this line of being able to question someone and be curious and approach them in that way, they actually think that they've come up with these ideas entirely on their own, and you do not need to, you know, break that reality for them, shatter that reality for them, because the best learning for adolescents is often very experiential, is often, you know, through their own thought process. And ultimately, we want to be cultivating a thought process in and of itself, regardless of the outcomes. We want to be teaching our teenagers to ask these questions of themselves, so that when they're 21 and in college and have various opportunities and options in their life, they can walk through the questions on their own of, is this really what I want to do? How well do I really know this person? How do I feel about this person personally, regardless of what my peers feel? We want them to be asking themselves these questions, and you can help them internalize that process by asking questions of them when they're adolescents, really being curious about what is the inner process of your mind, my sweet obnoxious teenager, you know, what are you really thinking about this, you know, party that, you know, you want to go to? Like, what is the plan there? You know, what happens if somebody does this or offers you that? Like, I'm not asking a leading question, not saying, you know, and tone of voice is really important in there, because some of those questions could be very leading depending on the tone of voice. But really getting them to think through these questions. How do I want to handle these situations? And being really as neutral as possible as we can as adults, as genuinely curious as we can as adults in their life, so that there is the space, the openness for them to question in their own head rather than reacting, rather than putting up that wall. They can be curious with themselves. They can say, oh, gosh, I haven't really thought about that. Huh, what would I do? And work through it. And knowing as parents, I want you guys to know that you guys have laid the groundwork. You have done many, many years of influencing. And adolescence is the period of time when you, unfortunately, have to step back and not focus as much on influencing, but focus on drawing out your adolescent's innate influencing of themselves, the influencing that you laid down often before they were 5 years old, that's now going to start bubbling up. Or it may come bubbling up in ways that they start questioning it. They say, well, actually, I don't know what I would do if somebody offered me pot, because I'm actually kind of curious about that, maybe despite the family's value around it, or in whatever direction. Ask them to say, do you believe in what our family believes in? Or do you want to test out that theory? And that's painful for parents. I'll just, you know, acknowledge that when teenagers are testing the theories of the family values, it can be very painful to watch. But it is a normal process of coming back around to those values, coming back around and figuring out what they truly believe, coming back around and learning to ask those questions of themselves, coming back around and knowing how to handle those situations when you're not there in a few years, when they're living on their own, when they're at college, where there are lots of peer influences, where we really actually want them to not be in the mindset of following directions, of doing what other people tell them to do, of following our directions, doing what we tell them to do. We don't want them to be trained to do that anymore. We want them to be trained to think for themselves, to ask questions, to consider, to be curious, not have a preconceived idea of what the answer is, but to really follow their own moral compass, their own ethical code, and not be swayed by another teenager, another adolescent saying, well, really, you should be smoking because everybody else is doing it, or really, you should be doing this because everybody else is doing it, or I think that this is fun and awesome, so you should do it. We don't want them doing that. We want them being curious, thinking about it, having an opinion. So today, parents, I leave you with Socrates. And I let you know that it takes a long time, a lot of practice to get good at asking these curious questions, these non-judgmental, neutral, curious questions that are not naive, right? You do have an idea of what hopefully the right answer is, in quotes, air quotes, right answer. But finding a way to ask it in a way that your teenager is not going to have their BS detector, sounding its alarm and just thinking that you're trying to influence them. So know that that takes practice, but I also have faith in you guys that with practice, you will find ways of having these conversations with your teenagers and in turn really influencing them to think, to question, to have opinions, and ultimately to follow their own moral compass.